All right, picture this. It's 6:47 in the morning. You're sitting in the cab of a pickup truck. It's still dark, maybe a little cold outside. And the inside of that truck, it smells like two very specific things. First, stale coffee from a thermos that really needs a good scrub.
Oh, I know that smell.
And second, that very particular dusty paper smell of crinkled hardware store receipts. You know what I'm talking
I
about.
do. That's the scent of I have way too much to do and I'm already behind.
Exactly. And that is the backdrop for a guy our source material introduces us to. We're going to call him Kenny.
Kenny.
Kenny's a facility manager in Northwest Indiana. He's in charge of this massive 240,000 square foot manufacturing building. And right now, sitting in that truck, Kenny isn't just tired. He is in the middle of a war.
And it's a war, based on the reports we're looking at today, that he is almost certainly losing,
That's the thing.
even if he feels like he's the hardest working guy in the whole company.
He probably is. But he
Yeah.
has this low-grade background hum of stress. One of the articles we read called it a tinnitus of the soul. But instead of a ringing in his ears, it's the constant nagging worry about the roof.
The roof, always the roof.
So today we're doing a deep dive into something that on the surface sounds really technical commercial roofing, but it's actually a masterclass in psychology, strategy, and finance. We're unpacking all the layers of
And I
protection.
really love that title because when we say layers, we're not just talking about the physical stuff you roll out,
Right.
though the chemistry we have to get into later is actually fascinating. We are talking about the layers of mental strategy, financial planning, and communication that you need to stop fighting a building and actually start managing it.
Yes, let's start there. Because Kenny is stuck in this psychological trap that the sources call the defensive territory mindset. This was fascinating to me. Can we break down what's going on in his head?
Yeah, it's a really common thing in this industry. It's when a facility manager starts to over-identify with the asset, with the building.
They take it personally.
Totally. They start thinking, this is my building. They know every rusty pipe, every weird wire, every breaker you have to jiggle just right.
Which, on the surface, that sounds like a good thing.
Right.
That sounds like dedication.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But the dark side of that is because they take such deep ownership, bringing in help feels like a failure.
Ah, I see
Calling
what
an
you mean.
outside contractor, admitting you can't fix a leak,
Yeah.
it feels like defeat. So they just try to do everything themselves.
It's the I can fix it syndrome, just scaled up to a huge industrial building. The sources describe Kenny as a classic can-do guy. He's already been to Menards, the big hardware store, twice this week. Once for silicone caulk, once for foam in a can, because HVAC Unit 7 is leaking again.
But let's look at the opportunity cost there. That's the key. When Kenny is at Menards buying foam at 7 a.m., what is he not doing?
He's not managing.
He's not being a facility manager. He's being a gopher. He's fetching bolts and paint. He's reacting, not directing.
And the sources paint this really stark picture. They call it the scoreboard. Kenny fixes a leak with a $47 receipt, climbs down the ladder, and thinks, score one for me. I just saved the company thousands.
But the building is keeping a different score. The physics of it. While Kenny's celebrating that little win, the building's getting bombarded. You've got UV rays cooking the membrane, gamma radiation, freeze-thaw cycles.
It's a relentless opponent and never sleeps.
It doesn't. And the hard truth that Kenny hasn't accepted yet is that one person with a tube of caulk cannot outmaintain the laws of thermodynamics. You can't hustle your way out of material degradation.
This leads us right to one of the biggest pitfalls in the text. I think this is going to resonate with anyone who's ever tried to save a buck on a repair, the big bucket fallacy.
Oh, this is a classic.
So Kenny's back at the hardware store. He's staring at this leak that just keeps coming back, and he sees what looks like a solution. It's a big 5-gallon bucket of elastomeric roof coating.
Yep, it's white, looks thick, costs about $250.
Right. And in his mind, he's doing the math. $250. I can put this on the company card. No approval needed. I'll slap this on. The leak stops. I'm a hero.
Problem solved.
So why is that a fallacy? I mean, it says roof coating on the bucket. $250 isn't exactly cheap. Why isn't it the right tool for the job?
Okay, so this is where we have to get a little bit into the chemistry because the difference between consumer grade and pro grade is molecular.
Okay.
That $250 bucket from the big box store is usually an acrylic-based product. And here's the kicker. It's often about 50% water.
Wait, 50% water? So you're just paying for evaporation?
Essentially, yeah, it's water-based, so when you roll it out, the water has to evaporate for it to cure. The film you end up with is, oh, it's very, very thin. It's basically a layer of plastic paint.
And on a huge, flat, industrial roof?
It's a disaster. You get ponding water puddles that sit for days, and that standing water re-emulsifies the acrylic.
It just turns back into a liquid.
It literally dissolves the fix over time. Or it gets brittle and cracks when that huge metal deck expands and contracts in the winter.
Okay, so let's contrast that. If the $250 bucket is consumer grade, what does the pro grade stuff look like? The sources mention some pretty steep price differences.
It is a completely different world. If you want the real stuff, say a professional grade urethane top coat, you're looking at around $850 per 5-gallon bucket.
Wow, from $250 to $850.
And even another high-end product mentioned, Snow Leopard Top Coat, that runs about $350 for 5 gallons. It's a huge jump.
It is.
But the price per bucket isn't even the main thing. It's the system. See, Kenny thinks roofing is goop in a bucket.
Yeah.
But real commercial roofing is a chemistry system. It has layers.
Layers, hence the title of our deep dive.
Exactly. You don't just roll on the white stuff. First, you have a primer. That's for adhesion. Without it, the coating peels off like a sunburn in a year.
Okay.
Then you have a base coat for the actual waterproofing. Then you have the top coat, which is for UV protection and durability. Each layer has a specific job.
So Kenny's buying a Mandaid when the building needs a full surgical system.
A shield, really. And there's another reason Kenny can't just go buy the $850 bucket.
Which is?
You can't get it at the hardware store. It's not available to the public. These pro materials often have isocyanates or solvents. They can be flammable. You need respirators to apply them. You need training to understand cure times and dew points.
That makes sense. It's industrial grade stuff.
Exactly. It's restricted for a very good reason.
So if the pro stuff is chemically superior and the $250 bucket is basically water paint that dissolves, why does Kenny keep buying it? Is he just cheap?
He's not cheap. He's paralyzed. The sources call this budget paralysis.
Budget paralysis.
He looks at the budget Nancy in finance gave him and he thinks, I can spend $250 today and make this problem go away right now. A $250 fix feels emotionally better than trying to justify a $5,000 invoice next month.
Even if he knows that fix is going to fail in 18 months.
Which the data shows it absolutely will. And that leads us to the financial escalator. This is the part of the deep dive that should, frankly, terrify any business owner listening.
I do love a good scary math problem. Walk us through it.
Okay, think of it like compounding debt. You do the quick patch or the $250 bucket today. It lasts maybe 18 months. But let's say Kenny ignores a small leak or uses the wrong stuff. If you delay a proper repair by just 6 months, you're now looking at a $500 repair.
Why does it jump that fast?
Secondary damage. Water has gotten into the insulation under the roof membrane. So now your heating and cooling bills are going up. And that trapped water starts rusting the metal deck from the inside out.
Okay, so $500 is annoying, but it's not a company killer.
True. But let's wait 2 years. Now that saturated insulation is spread, the deck is rusted through, you're looking at a $5,000 emergency repair, and you might have to shut down production in that area for a day to fix it.
And if you wait 3 or more years?
Catastrophic failure. You're not repairing anymore. You're replacing. That's a $100,000 bill. Tearing off the old roof, replacing seal, new insulation, everything.
So we went from a simple patch to $100,000 just by waiting 3 years?
And here's the really stark comparison. A preventive coating, doing it right before it leaks, costs about $4 a square foot.
Yep.
An emergency replacement because you waited too long, that's $9 to $12 a square foot, plus downtime.
So more than double the cost. It's literally penny-wise, pound-foolish.
It is. And it leads to what the sources call death by a thousand cuts. Nancy from finance asked Kenny, how much did we spend on the roof this year? And he doesn't know because it's hidden in a dozen small receipts.
It flies under the radar.
Until the whole thing collapses.
You mentioned Nancy from finance, and this brings us to the next layer of protection, which, surprisingly, isn't made of urethane. It's made of words.
Communication.
The sources say the number one complaint in this industry isn't about materials, it's that people just don't know what's going on.
The communication breakdown is the real killer. Internally, too. Look at the dynamic between Kenny and Nancy. He's not getting the budget he needs because he's not having the right conversation with her.
Why not? Does he have Rachel just say no?
It's usually a language barrier. Kenny speaks facility. He goes to her with feelings. He says, Nancy, the roof is leaking. It's bad. I need money.
That's reactive. It sounds like a complaint.
And Nancy speaks finance. Her job is to protect capital. She needs a business case, not a complaint.
So how does he learn to speak finance? How does he shift that narrative?
He has to stop asking for money for patches and start presenting what the sources call multidimensional communication. He needs to bring data.
What does that look like in practice?
Written email summaries, for one, but more importantly, visuals, photos of the damage. And today, with current tech, thermal scans.
Explain the thermal scan. That sounds pretty high tech.
It is, but it's becoming standard. A drone flies over the roof at sunset and takes a thermal image. Wet insulation holds heat longer than dry insulation.
Oh, I see.
So on the image, the wet spots glow red or white, and the dry roof is blue. You can literally see the water trapped under the surface.
And that is way more impressive than waving a crinkled receipt and saying, trust me.
It changes the entire dynamic. Instead of begging for a few hundred dollars, he puts that thermal image on Nancy's desk. He says, look, we have 10% saturation. We need $50,000 now for a coating. If we do this, we avoid a $180,000 replacement in 3 years.
Now, that is a language finance understands. That's ROI. Risk mitigation.
Precisely. It moves Kenny from being a handyman to a strategic asset. He isn't spending money. He's saving the company from a future liability.
Okay, so this all sounds great, but let's be realistic about Kenny's day. He's still stressed in that truck. How does he actually make this shift?
The sources suggest a framework for this. It's called the 90-10 rule.
Okay, break that down.
Right now, Kenny is operating at, say, 50% physical responsibility. He thinks he needs to do half the work himself to save money.
The patching, the caulking.
Right. The shift is to move to 10% strategic oversight.
Only 10%? That sounds like he's slacking off.
It sounds like it, but that 10% is the high-value work. Kenny should not be on his knees applying a membrane. His hourly rate is too high for that, and he's not a pro. His 10% is the documentation, the decision-making, managing the maintenance schedule.
And the other 90%?
You outsource it. You give it to the professionals who have the training for the $850 buckets, who have the insurance, if someone falls, who do this every single day.
So Kenny delegates the risk and the labor.
And he keeps the control and the strategy. That's the definition of management.
I can hear the Kennys out there listening to this, though, saying, but everything is urgent. The HVAC is down. The parking lot has potholes. The roof is leaking. How do I choose?
That's the eternal struggle. The source material offers a solution for that, too.
Yeah.
A prioritization matrix. You have to triage.
Okay.
You look at three things for every problem. One, consequence of delay. If I ignore this, does the production line stop? Two, timeline to failure, a month or a year. And three, cost of prevention versus emergency.
And the roof usually sits in that dangerous middle ground where it isn't breaking today, but the cost of the emergency is astronomical.
That is the trap. Potholes are visible. People complain about them. A roof leak is often invisible until it's a disaster. It's the silent killer of budgets.
So using that matrix, he can build a case.
Exactly. He can show his bosses, hey, we can live with the potholes. They're ugly. But the warehouse inventory is at risk if we don't fix these roof seams before winter.
It really reframes the whole relationship. The source material had this great line, the building is not the enemy.
It isn't. It's a partner. But it's a partner that needs professional management, not just a handyman with good intentions.
I love that. It takes the emotion out of it. You're not fighting the roof. You are managing an asset.
And that gets us to the ultimate goal here. The sources call it forward thinking relaxation.
Which sounds like a yoga mantra, but it's really a business strategy.
It is. Think about that stress we talked about at the beginning, that smell in the truck. If you are constantly reactive, you're always stressed.
You're just waiting for the next crisis.
Every phone call could be a disaster. But if you're forward thinking, you have a plan. You know the roof needs coating in 2026. You've budgeted for it. You aren't surprised. You can breathe.
And maybe finally get that stress smell out of your truck.
Ideally, yeah. Replace it with the smell of a completed project report.
So as we wrap up, I want to zoom out a bit. We've been talking about roofs and Kenny and urethane, but this applies to so much more than just buildings.
It really does. It's about the cost of short-term thinking. It's about the psychology of the quick fix.
Exactly. I want to leave you, the listener, with a question to think about. Ask yourself, in your own work or even your personal life, where are you buying the equivalent of the $250 bucket?
Hmm.
Where are you applying a cheap, quick fix today to save a little time or money when you know deep down you are just guaranteeing a catastrophic failure 3 years from now?
That's a heavy question. Is it your health?
Yeah.
Skipping the gym, the preventative maintenance, and risking the emergency room later? Your IT infrastructure?
Hmm.
Your team's training?
Where are you fighting a battle that you should be managing? That's really the question.
And remember, just like on the roof, there are no $5 buckets for the problems that really matter.
That is the truth. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.